How I Wrote My Book refers to cultural touchstones, for example, authors, books, music, politics, that may not resonate with today's reader. Perhaps more disturbing will be some of the words and phrases Bradbury uses. Simply put, the language of the 1950s was not politically correct. Yet, How I Wrote My Book offers fascinating insight into Bradbury's creative process and is, at the same time, a powerful, at times urgent, commentary on Bradbury's beliefs, thoughts, and fears about humanity and our world. And while expressions used by Bradbury in this essay may be anachronistic, his message is timeless and rings as true today as it did 75 years ago. How I Wrote The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. In 1944, I was reading Sinclair Lewis, Hemingway, Steinbeck, Willa Cather, Sherwood Anderson, and John Dos Passos. I wondered then if the same sort of human, interesting people couldn't be carried off to Mars. I wondered, for instance, what would happen to a Steinbeck man, a Cather woman, a Hemingway tough, suddenly confronted with 50 million miles of space, the most immense loneliness in man's history, and the task of providing food, shelter, and nourishment for the spirit of his fellow men. I decided it was worth trying. In the autumn of 1944, I set out to do it. I decided, first of all, that there would be certain elements of similarity between the invasion of Mars and the invasion of the Wild West in the years from 1840 until 1900. I'd heard from my father's lips and my grandfather's stories of varied adventures in the West, even in the late year of 1908, when things were empty, still, and lonely. So I knew that Mars, in reality, would be that new horizon which Steinbeck's Billy Buck mused upon when he stood upon the shore of the Pacific and the going west was over, and the adventurers were left with nothing else to do but simmer down. The idea of jumping off to the other planets of our system is not only tremendous, but self-propagating and unending. There is no limit to man's horizons and thinking in space. There is not one west there, but a billion wests, a billion compass points, where the rugged individual, the he-man, and yes, even the poet and writer, can go in search of a space huge enough to flex his muscles or indulge his brain in a little much-needed silence and isolation. Man will always be picking up and moving on, and space will give him the necessaries whereby, if the civilization follows too close at his boot heels, he can toss his belongings into a sack and, technology willing, rocket off to some other planet, some other star. I decided that space could offer all things to all men. I decided that Mars could be a symbol of haven to old people, riches to young bucks, beauty to philosophers, adventure to adventurers. It could be a new field to open out the questions of God to the man of good faith. It would be a field day for anthropologists, a heyday for mineralogists, a proving ground for psychologists, and a wonderful vacation for Mr. and Mrs. Joe Smith from Ashtabula. I decided that Mars could not be anything like a crystal ball into which the people traveling there could see their future. I decided that Mars would be nothing more nor less than a mirror in which Earthman would be reflected, twice as large as life, with all of his wonders, beauties, and terrors, his petty politics, his ravening greeds, and simple faiths. He would find no more and no less on Mars than what he brought in his pocket and in his heart. Therefore, most Martian invaders were doomed to disappointment, for I knew that man, no matter how fast he traveled, might easily outdistance the speed of sound, but could never outdistance the speed of his wrong political decisions, his past, or the atom bomb. Running away from Earth to escape responsibility from the mess he had made of things would only involve mankind more deeply in their guilt, and so they would find, reflected one way or another, those troubles waiting for them, like unwanted children on Mars. There is an interpretation of the Einstein theory, I believe, not being a scientist, that says space is curved. Some writers in the imaginative field have carried this on to the point where a character traveling into space for 20 trillion miles into the macrocosmos winds up in his own house on Earth, in the microscopic cells of the sunflowers there. Al Jolson put it very well.